You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, they've made unconditional fans out of all of their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp Products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. Nathan Zagura and special guest host Joe Juravicious out at the PNC Bank on Royalton Road in Strongsville. Come and see us. Get some good food. We're trying to work on some big Kahlua if we can with some hot chocolate because it's a little chilly out here. We'll see what happens with that. But nonetheless, we're going to have a good time out here. We got a lot of members of the Dog Pound out here. So come and see us. Safety to Sean Gibson, who already has two interceptions on the season, will be with us live at the PNC Bank in Strongsville at 2 p.m. Eastern. But Joe, before we get to the phone lines, as people are blowing us up here at 216-578-0850, I know you have a special shout out for a reigning champion in the National Football League.
Well, I could tell you we have a guy named Brad Melland in Cleveland. In my opinion, he's probably the most important guy in an NFL locker room. And for one reason, it's raining, it's cold out here. Brad's the guy that's instrumental in getting us the heated benches, making sure that we have the appropriate Under Armour stuff or whatever they're wearing nowadays underneath the pads, the helmets, the gloves, the heat packs inside our hand packs. So I'd like to send Brad a shout-out, and I'd like him to meet us out here and bring you, myself, a heated bench.
I would love that.
And maybe some of the chicken noodle, the soup that they used to hold there to keep us warm during them cold days. But it's cold out here, but we're showing some perseverance out here.
Yes, we are, and you should too, Dog Pound. Come out of here, and hopefully we'll get the reigning Equipment Manager of the Year in the National Football League, Mr. Brad Melland, out here. Obviously a big favorite on CBD. We're going to go to the phone lines now. 216-578-0850 Chevy in New Jersey. Welcome to CBD with Nathan Zagura and Joe Juravicious.
Welcome to the show, Joe. You'd really be crying right now if you knew how much Browns fans appreciated you coming there, especially on third down. We've got a guy named Miles Austin that reflects your type of play, but that's not why I called. I called because before a game, if the defense wants to start out fast, the night before, they have to go over that first half, play by play, in their mind, like you said, with the leadership. Isn't that critical? That's it.
I would say that you're right. I think, you know, thanks for calling in first off, but you're right that I think you have to imagine. I think a lot of players in the NFL right now, in any sport for that matter, use imagery. And you have to imagine yourself going out there, making tackles, making the plays, knowing your assignments, knowing that you have proper fit and shed techniques for defensive players. All those things come into mind. And, again, I'd be shocked that these guys aren't doing it, but I would believe that maybe a little more attention to detail right now is probably the most important thing, because the game of football is a game of inches. I know we're measured in yards and first downs and all that, but a lot of times the minuscule things are what actually make or break a football game. So I would say that these guys are going to be prepared. They have the momentum. Everything always feels better after a win, and it always feels good to come on home to the Cleveland Browns fans. So I would say with that, I could see the Browns defensive players imagining and doing everything in their power to make things right.
I think they've got to, and when in talking to the players and the coaches, that's what they keep stressing to me as well. It's all about the details. It's when you got to maintain your gap integrity on the defensive line. Don't give a lane by freelancing and let Jake Locker run out of the pocket. That's some of the things that were happening, some of the breakdowns there. On the back end of this defense, they're asked to play a lot of man-to-man. Many times you see guys out on islands. How much of a challenge is that for a defensive back? And as a receiver, when you'd line up and you'd say, hey, listen, I know I'm one-on-one, did you feel for the most part you had the advantage in those situations?
Well, I would say that ultimately most receivers have the advantage because we know we have to go from point A to point B.
And you know what point B is.
We know where point B is, and defensive backs aren't supposed to know that. And that's why they always talk, the most sound defensive backs in the National Football League are always technique sound. They're always out there. They're shuffling their feet. They're getting their hands in the right place. They're doing everything they can to slow that receiver down for a split second. And believe it or not, when you're doing timing patterns, three-step drops, five-step drops, everything is off of timing. Guys, the quarterbacks take their drop. They know that they have a bell going off in their head, and the ball has to be out at a certain time. So everything a defensive back can do to kind of get their hand and hinder a receiver from getting to that point B pays big dividends for them. But I would say that always the receiver has the advantage because they know where they're going to. But the best cornerbacks in the game today, they are so technique sound that they very rarely give up those plays.
As a big receiver, a physical receiver in your day, how would you have liked to have been playing under these new rules where they were not allowed to touch you really at all once you got 5 yards down the field?
Oh, it'd be great. But, you know, I mean, and the thing is, you know, you would have smaller defensive backs go up against bigger receivers like myself, and those guys would always be quicker. I always had to be technique sound on the other side of it where I would have to use my strength, my size, to get their hands off me and use my body to give me that extra yard of separation somehow. So it's a game of jostling. You're always jostling for some type of position, whether you're on offense or defense. And, again, if you give yourself that opportunity, you believe in your technique, you know your game plan, you know your route, and you've meticulously studied it during the week, and you've meticulously run those patterns during the week with your quarterback, it makes it a lot easier on Sunday.
Certainly does. Let's go to Ben in Denver now. Ben, you're on CBD.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. Good. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. Diehard Cleveland Browns, born and raised here in Cleveland, been out here for about 8 years, but I follow you guys all the time. But the question was raised about the defense, and ironically, I played defense. I played corner and safety. And, Joe, you was talking about the technique. Absolutely, positively, dead on. It is, that's the first and foremost one of the things. They got to maintain that gap integrity. But the other part of that is sure tackling. I see too much arm tackling, or they try to do the power hit, you know, to get that one hit on the guy and he's supposed to go down. It's hit and wrap and drive all in the same thing, which is, again, it's a technique. And I don't see them doing that. And because of that, a lot of the offense is breaking tackles all the time. And so when they seem to make the adjustments in the second half, then they go back to that technique that you're talking about. I'm like, you guys got to do this 60 minutes, not 30 minutes. And I'm out with that.
I'd actually like to thank you because you actually validated some of my credation. You believe in what I'm saying, so I can appreciate that. But, you know, the thing is that where you have to find where it's very fine water that can be treaded during the week is a professional with all the contracts that are out there, with all the talent and the limited number of players that you can actually have on a roster, it's not like you can go out there and thud your receivers or your running backs during the week. You've got to protect your bodies because it's a long season, 16 games. You know, yes, everything, even tackling. Tackling is a technique. There's little things that have to happen. And what I always try to tell people is you have to remember, too, that if you're on defense, the offensive player gets paid, too. And if you're on offense, that defensive player gets paid. So, yes, it's a technique thing, you know, but I'm looking at some of the guys that we have on our roster. Those guys know how to tackle. Again, there's an adjustment to a new defensive coordinator, new schemes, how they want things particularly done on Sunday. Those things all have to be adjusted to. Again, we know that those credentials are there because we're seeing it done in the second half. Again, now it's just a matter of putting that whole thing together and making one complete game. And I just have this funny feeling that if they can put one complete game together in all three phases, from defense to offense to special teams, and the coaching staff goes out there and coaches to the best of their abilities, that the Cleveland Browns are in for something special here, not only in the near future, but for years to come.
I think you're exactly right about that. And you talk about technique and the importance of it in the evaluation of Justin Gilbert, who has had a pretty tough first four games in the NFL to the point where he's not really on the field much right now. Was technique the biggest thing that you saw holding him back?
Yeah, I would say, yeah. You know, the most important thing, technique. We've said that before. The other thing, to play that position and to play it well in the National Football League, you have better have a very, very short memory. You have to let the negative things go, the mistakes go. You have to be ready to make the next play, because what happens is when offensive coordinators start to pick on somebody because they can see that the confidence is shattered maybe, they start picking on you. And listen, if you don't have that short memory, it's going to be you're going to be in for a long day. Again, we have Justin is a very, very young cornerback. Everything happens in time. You know, I felt in my particular game that I got better as my years went on. Now what you'll probably see is the Joe Haydens of the world, guys that are going to be perennial Pro Bowlers, go out there and teach them. Hey, listen, relax. Technique always, 90% of the time, will win out for you. Things do happen, but it's a technique thing. He's a big cornerback. He has to learn the game. And if I can say one thing to the fans out there, the difference between college football and professional football is just like going from high school to college. Everybody is very, very good in the National Football League.
And let me ask you this, because people are saying, you know, K'Wan Williams is an undrafted free agent rookie and right now is ahead of Gilbert on the depth chart. But K'Wan Williams isn't as big as Gilbert. He isn't as fast as Gilbert. He doesn't have the pedigree from a physical standpoint that Gilbert had. So was he somebody who had to rely on his technique and being perfect in college so that transition was easier, whereas a guy like Gilbert maybe could get away being a little bit sloppy with his technique because he had the athleticism to overcome those deficiencies?
You're absolutely right that you have to, a guy like him, to make it through this part of a career in the National Football League, knowing again that you're going against the best wide receivers that play the game, you have to really, really rely on the little things. And those little things we keep talking about, they get practiced so much that it becomes part of your being. It becomes kind of who you are and what type of defensive player you will be. I would say that the other side of it, too, is, again, the confidence. He's got nothing. He doesn't have the first-round tag hanging over his head, so you're going to be picked apart. You're not worth the pick. You're worth the pick. He's got confidence of just knowing all he has to do is go in there and play. And that's very, very important for somebody. It's that confidence thing. So I say he has that going for him.
And he does, man. He's going to have even more confidence. Big pass breakup late in that game. Big sack for K'Wan Williams on the final drive to help seal the victory for the Cleveland Browns. Let's go to Reggie in Youngstown now. Reggie, welcome to CBD.
Hey, fellas. How you doing today, everybody?
Good.
Okay?
Good. Yeah, we're doing great.
All right. Get ready for this big Steeler game, you know, that we're going to spank him a little bit. That's for sure. Hey, you know what? Yesterday, when me and you were talking and stuff there, when I called in, I was talking about the defense that, you know, well, we're all talking about that. But I was saying about some of the players. But, you know, two players, I want to know what you guys think about it. Two players that I think really is playing their top game for us in general is Kruger and our middle linebacker. One of them is a Dansby.
Carlos Dansby, yep.
Yeah, I think, to me, guys, I think that both of them are playing a top game, and if we can get the rest of our defense to play that game, to play like the way they're playing, we're going to have a great defense, fellas, because I think that Whitner hasn't really gave me what I'm looking for him to do. He hasn't made that big hit. Every game, guys, I watch him play, and I'm waiting for that big hit, you know, because he's known as a hitter, and we're just not getting it yet from him. I don't know what it is. I'm going to listen to you fellas, and you guys maybe can explain it, what's going on there, okay?
I appreciate the call, and I think you have valid points. I 100% agree with you right now that Kruger and Carlos Dansby right now are becoming the leaders of that defense. You know, again, we've talked about veteran leadership. We talked about it a little bit earlier. When you look at what Kruger, where he came from, the type of players that they had on that team and the type of people that he learned from, that can show you why that guy plays at a high level right now. You know, last year maybe he was a little bit lost. You know, you didn't hear his name as much, but I could tell you right now, when you tune into the game, you see a guy with his ears pinned back, flying around the football, wreaking havoc in the backfield for the offense. Carlos Dansby, you know, I saw him in the locker room yesterday in person, and that's a big guy.
He's a big guy
to be 6'4", playing that linebacker position, flying around. That's an intimidating force right there. And that guy knows that he has a lot. It looks like he wants it on his shoulders. Like, he wants to be that leader of that defense.
It's very
true. That's rewarding for the Cleveland Browns. They had the confidence in him to bring him here. They brought him here. And what we're getting right now, four games into the season, is a guy that's literally wreaking havoc.
Do you think this is going to be Dante Whitner's best game? Because as Reggie pointed out, he's been solid. You haven't said Dante didn't do anything well, but he hasn't stood out with a huge play yet. Do you think with this being his first Cleveland game against the Steelers that this could be the week we see a big one from Dante Whitner?
I have two trains of thought on that. We have to realize the Browns are only four games into their season. We are so early in the season. The first quarter of the regular season is just passed.
Right.
We are now stepping into that first game of the second quarter of our 16-game season. If I'm going to put my money on anything right now, I am guessing that this will be the week that we see a Dante Whitner, a guy that studies the game, that's passionate about it, that flies around and hits people. If there's a game that he can make an impact statement, why not be against the Pittsburgh Steelers?
It certainly would be good, and I know it would mean a lot to Dante. Brown safety, his backfield mate Tashawn Gibson is here signing autographs, taking pictures, kissing babies out here at the PNC Bank in Strongsville off Royalton Road. So come out and see us. Nathan Zagura, Joe Jurevicius. We'll be back with more breaking down this Steelers game, this rivalry, what a win would mean on Sunday, how the Browns are going to get it. We're going to talk with you as well. 216-578-0850 on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.